You all ready to see what you look like? Those of you that were not here yesterday don't know what I'm talking about. And those of you that were here yesterday may wish that you didn't know what I'm talking about. But the pictures that we took yesterday turned out, and this term compatible that's been floating around, they work on here. And if I can use this machine, and I was so glad, Rick, that you had the problems you did. You know?
Anytime I can help.
Yeah. You know, in the Springfield congregation, now they have chosen, and we're working with them on this idea of mutual edification. The congregation is about 2 years old. And they have decided that everybody at this point will keep the same responsibilities, so far as the men are concerned, for a full quarter. Which is all right. I mean, that's a step in the right direction. And our Sunday evening classes right now, we've got a man in the congregation that is that's teaching all of those who are interested how to use PowerPoint and make presentations. So by the time this quarter is over, if I'm home that much, I should know a little bit more about it. And another unique thing that's going on with it is that we're taking the subject of baptism, which came up in our 4th of July meeting, and those of you that were there know the discussion that happened there. But the whole congregation is forming a PowerPoint presentation on that subject. So when this quarter is over, we'll have a congregational discussion and an ability to use PowerPoint with that message anywhere. So anyway, you want to see what you look like here. And as we look at these pictures, the first picture that you are going to see is probably the way people see you most of the time. If I push the right button here, it's supposed to work. Take a close look. We're talking about running the race. We're talking about you running the race. And the way people look at you and see what you seem to show with your own abilities of running that race. Okay, that takes care of one side. Here's the other side. Now what I want to show you, after we discussed things for a little while and I asked you all to smile and we discussed that subject of smiling and so on, I want you to notice the difference as you look at yourself. You see a change? Why? Why is it that you look so much different? Think about that, folks. Think about it. And now it's your turn. The point in all of this is we are servants. We are running a race. And people are watching us run that race. And they're making decisions daily based upon how they see us. Fred mentioned to me after we were through yesterday about some seminar or something that he had been somewhere, and they brought up the subject, you know, if you're not feeling very good, look at your face. Look at your face. What are you showing to other people as you're running this race? Think about that, and that's my extent of PowerPoint right now. And I suppose those pictures are available if we can find a way of making them available. For the next little while, we're going to be looking at the subject of service. And I want to mention to you to begin with that everybody, for the most part, is looking for ways to better mankind and be good servants. Everybody. That includes Christians and non-Christians. Everybody. Is anybody here familiar with the 40 Fundamental Asset Program? Anybody in here ever heard of that program before at all? Has anybody ever heard of the Search Institute before? Okay. Well, that's an example of not knowing what's going on in areas outside of the church so far as being servants is concerned. The Lutheran Church came up with a list that they call the 40 fundamental assets. And they made this list to project to communities that might take an interest in it in a way that the Bible presented working with people who have problems and how to get those problems solved. This was a Lutheran church. The Search Institute, which is a huge nationwide institute that deals with how to get communities to do good things, picked up on it, and I don't know whether they pay the Lutheran Church a whole lot of money or whether they just use the idea or whatever, but they've got a trademark on it along with the Lutheran Church. And they push this idea, and I'm sure they push it around here in these communities too. In fact, I know they do. Because I saw a video about a month or so ago about the schools in Long Beach using it. So I know that it's being used around here. I talked with a group of people about this in the west, up north here not too long ago because they asked me to be involved in some projects that were dealing with these assets. And I mentioned to them at the time, I said, you know, this isn't anything new because they crucified a man about 2,000 years ago who taught the same thing. And they looked at me like, what are you saying? What are you saying? And then I told them that even before they crucified that man, there was another fella who went up on a mountain and received what we call the Ten Commandments, and he too was teaching the same thing. So I said, there's nothing new here, folks. It's the same material. But that's just one example of communities trying to reach people in their communities that have problems because they recognize that those problems are there. And we've got to do something about it. A few years back, when we were living in the Toledo area temporarily, we were approached by a group of people from the health department in Lincoln County, and they came to us. They came to all of the other churches that they could find as well, and they said, we need your help. We've got lots of problems here, and we can't solve them. We need some religious input. And I just about fell off my chair. They said, will you help us? And I said, sure. I said, we'll help you as long as you will allow it to happen. And we'll stay involved until you tell us to shut up. And they haven't said shut up yet. There are all kinds of people wanting to make the world better, folks. And many times they wonder why we, as Christians as we call ourselves, aren't interested in doing it too. And they look at us and they look at our faces just like we had on those pictures. And they draw conclusions from what they see in us. And what kind of servants are we? It bothers me. I was talking with the police people over in Lincoln County one time here not too long ago, and we were talking about the church. We were talking about involvements and how the church might help in various areas in the community and be a good influence in the community. And these people were, they were familiar with members of the church. Very familiar in many cases. They said, you know, you people haven't done anything to help this community for years. Boy, did that hurt. Boy, did that hurt. Let your light so shine I know there are those that say community service is not something that the church should even be involved in. And I know some of you may think that way yourself. But let me tell you that there are people needing help, and we're the only ones that can provide it. And they don't even know many times that they need that help. And let me tell you also that there are lots of people who would like to help but don't know how. You know, in Jesus' time, frequently people would come to him and they would say, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your servants. What do I have to do? One time there was a rich fellow. You remember he came to Jesus? And Jesus says, well, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and you can follow me. And he mentioned to him, you know, he says that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. That's not the kind of servant he wanted to be. It's not the kind of service that he thought should be. And another time, Jesus talked about somebody and that wanted to serve. But he said, let me go back and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was Jesus being disrespectful there to that man and his family? What does it mean in running the race to be a servant? I have occasion from time to time to talk to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, and in talking with some people one time about missionary work, we began discussing, and I mentioned this some recently on a trip, so some of you that were involved with us on that trip, you may hear some repetition here, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 for a minute. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus here in this verse is talking about being a servant. If you want to be a servant, he gives three statements here on what you need to understand if you really want to do this. Here's what he says, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. What does that mean? Let him deny himself. You think we can do that? You think that's really possible here where we live now? Can you really do that? Are you willing really to do this? What this means is to renounce a self-directed life. We live in a time and we live in a country where there are lucrative careers. This is definitely a land of opportunity. The person that is the most industrious, puts in the most time and the most effort, can go far. Many people come to this land of opportunity from places where they don't have opportunity, and they pass up our own people because of their willingness to work and so on. We have a lot of fancy titles in this country. It's easy. If you work hard enough, you can get those fancy titles. And we have a lot of juicy perks, you know. When you're looking for jobs, when you're looking for careers, it's the perks sometimes that sell the job. What are the benefits? What what kind of perks do I get in this job? Let him deny himself. Are you willing to do that? That's what Jesus said. If you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, it's in red letters. Let him deny himself. If you want to be a servant, then you've got to be prepared to do that. Let him deny himself. Now, that doesn't mean that we throw out the window all kinds of success. That's not the point. Not the point at all. Because there are other places in the scriptures where it talks about using those talents, you know, about use them for the Lord. Use them for the Lord, and yet you can use your talents for the Lord. But if you're really willing to serve, be willing to deny yourself. Christ has to become the master. And that has to be more than just talk. Okay, you know, yes, I'm going to be a Christian. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll memorize all kinds of verses. You know? But is Christ really the master? Is he really the master? Now, there's more that he says here, too. He says, take up his cross. We all have burdens to bear. We're told in the scriptures, you know, that we have burdens to bear. We're encouraged that everybody take up their cross. But do we really know what that means? Take up your cross. Charles mentioned in his lesson about the crucifixion and the Passion of Christ movie and so on, and how, you know, crucifixion really had dropped out of the reality of people's minds, you know, at the time that the idea comes up that he was presenting here to this morning. But you know, in the time that this verse was written, people really knew what crucifixion was. And it meant more than just getting hurt. It was a death sentence. Definite death sentence. So when Jesus says, take up your cross, that's what he means. He means be willing to die for the cause. If that's what it takes, then be willing to die for the cause. That doesn't mean that we become like the suicide bombers and so on that we hear so much about on the news today, and you're going to be guaranteed heaven if you become a martyr that way. That's not what it means. But it does mean that you definitely are willing to sacrifice yourself. Definitely willing to do that. In running this race. We talked about discipline some yesterday. It takes discipline. Takes discipline here. Jesus says, if you really want to follow me, if you're really, honestly, deep down interested in following me, then be willing to take up your cross. Be willing to suffer abuse. Be willing to suffer mistreatment along the way. Jesus said earlier, you know, when he was talking there on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Be willing to have that happen. That doesn't mean you go around with your chip on your shoulder and you say, okay, here I am, hit me now. You know, I'm ready for this. That's not what it means. But it does mean be willing to suffer abuse. Be willing to be mistreated. Even if it means death. We don't have to face death in this country, at least not yet. But you know, there's not a single place in the scriptures that talks about a guarantee that the United States of America is always going to have the freedom to be able to get together like we are and so on. And there are places in the world right now that members of the church still have to be underground. I know a fella who's working in China right now. He's over there as a college teacher teaching English to students in China. But the real reason that he's over there is to do mission work for the Lord. Those of you who were up at the 4th of July meeting may have met him. Don Wright is his name, no relation. But there is a church in China, and it's an underground church. And if the government finds out what they are doing, it can very easily be a death sentence. Very easily be a death sentence. And it happens every day. He's going back. He's over here now. And when the next term starts, he's going back. And this will be about his third or fourth year over there. He's asked me to go over there too, but I'm not planning to do it. But there are places like that around the world. We're so blessed here. So blessed. And those of you that have been over to the Philippines, I was in the Philippines, you know, when I was in the Navy, and I know a little bit about what's going on over there in the Philippines and the things that they've been involved in, and in Japan, too. And in some cases around Hong Kong, I found members of the church everywhere I went. I know that there are the Lord's people everywhere, all over the world. I know they're there. But in some cases, you have to search a little bit to find them, and there's reasons why you have to search to find them. But we're so blessed here. So blessed. We've got so much that we don't even realize how much we have. And even within our communities. You know, I know a lady that I work with over on the coast. This lady is from Tonga. Anybody here know where Tonga is? I don't really know where it is, but I know she's from there. She came over to this country a few years ago and didn't even know how to speak English, but she taught herself English, and now she works with homeless kids in Lincoln County in Oregon. And I don't think that it's much different in Lincoln County than it is anywhere else. But if you really knew, and I know from her contact with these kids, what she faces every day. In fact, when I'm over there on the coast and I'm in a motel quite a little bit of the time when I'm over there, and you know how they give these little bars of soap to you when you're in the motels? Well, I collect those and save them. And I give them to her when I get a bunch of them because she works with elementary age kids that are homeless in Lincoln County. And there are plenty of them. There are plenty of them. Homeless for a lot of reasons. Many times their parents are drunk or on dope and they don't even know where they are. And it's to the point that the grade schools now, they don't give tardy slips to these kids because most of them come to school late every day. They give them slips that say, "We're glad you're here." So that there will not be a negative connotation on the fact that they just can't get there. They can't get there. Because they don't have a mom and a dad that's there to help them get ready. And I would imagine you wouldn't have to go very far right here in this county to find similar situations. We're so blessed. We're so blessed among ourselves, and it's good that we have the fellowship with one another. Another thing that I found out over on the coast, and I don't think that it's much different probably here, the foster parent program in Lincoln County, Oregon, the majority of foster parents are homosexuals. Because those are the people that volunteer to do the work. Now think about that for a minute. Think about it. Are we willing to be servants? Are we willing to let our light shine? Are we willing to really be the salt of the earth? We're not going to solve all the world's problems, no. We can't. Jesus himself says the poor will always be with you. And they will. But have you heard the story of the starfish? Have any of you ever heard that story? About the fellow out on the beach that was throwing starfish back into the ocean? You know that story? Okay, well, I see a few heads nodding, but there's a whole lot of you that apparently haven't heard it, and I'm not sure I can tell it like it originally was told, but it goes something like this. There was a young man who was out on the beach, and there were thousands of starfish out there on the beach that had washed ashore, I guess, as the tide came in. And he was out there throwing them back into the ocean, you know, because as long as they stayed out there on that beach, they were gonna dry up and die. And a fella came by and he said, "What are you doing?" As he watched him throwing these starfish out into the ocean. He says, "Well, I'm saving these starfish." And the other fella says, "Well, you can't save those starfish." He says, "It's a hopeless cause." And he picked one up and he threw it back at him. He said, "I saved that one." And he picked up another one and he threw it back and he said, "I saved that one." And the guy got the message. The guy got the message. No, we can't save the world. It's true. But there are a lot of starfish out there. A lot of starfish out there. And in our running the race, we have the ability. We have the ability to help a lot of them. If we're willing to be the servants that the Lord would like us to be. I remember when I was working down here before Jeannie and I moved to Oregon. I was in the finance business down here, and the home office was right here in Orange County. And in the training program that I went through, we often would meet at the headquarters here in the area here in Orange County. And we'd talk about the training and so on, and every so often one of the supervisors up the line would mention, "Any of you young fellas like to go out on the fringes? You know, it's not like it is all comfortable here where we're all together." I can remember statements made like that. And then they wound up transferring me to Oregon and I found out what the fringes were like. But the point that they were trying to make is it's a different situation when you're all together than when you are out on the fringes. And when it comes to serving the Lord, it's a different situation too when you're on the fringes. Definitely a different situation. The church has always... God's people have always wanted to be together. And that's not all bad, you know? But the Lord has also said that you need to scatter and get the message out. The reason the Tower of Babel needed to happen is because people were getting too comfortable where they were. And they were subjecting themselves then to sin. Just got too easy. You know, and the Lord saw to it that it wasn't as easy as it should be. Same thing happened, you know, and when the church was established in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, you know, everybody wanted to stay right there in Jerusalem. Oh, it was so great now. We've got salvation. We want to stay right here and we can just fellowship continually forever. And it took persecution to get them to scatter because the Lord wanted them to take that message somewhere besides Jerusalem. And the persecution allowed that to happen. This meeting's great. It's good we can be together. It's good we have these meetings. But let's not spoil ourselves. Let's not forget the real job we have of being servants. And that means to be willing to be uncomfortable. That means to be willing to take up our cross. That means to be a real servant. One other thing that he says here in this verse, follow me. Okay? Sounds easy. Follow me. Just wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Okay? If you're a good servant, you just follow me. But that means follow me despite the heartaches that happen along the way. That means follow me despite the opposition that comes along the way. And that means to follow me despite any personal losses that you might have along the way. We need to think about that. Being a servant. Jesus was asked about that more than once. And he also knew the minds of all of those who were asking it. And as we think today about running the race, we think of the discipline that we need to have ourselves in running that race. We need to think about, are we really prepared to be the servants the Lord wants us to be and really that we may want to be? Are we willing, really willing, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him? Is that commitment really there? Questions, comments? I got you all snowed. Dean.
Well, with regards to running the race, you need to train for it. That's, you brought that out. It's been brought out before. That's how we kind of train for overcoming hardships in our lives is by serving others. We develop our skills, our abilities, so that when those hardships come along, it won't knock us down.
Shouldn't it? Does that mean that we need to allow ourselves to be placed in positions where we've got to make those kind of choices? Decisions? Live on the edge, so to speak?
We don't need to put ourselves in temptation's way, but we need to be doing things that are serving other people.
Okay.
Serving Christ.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Questions or comments? I don't see any smiles today. Well, on a subject like this, it's important enough that there may be reasons for not smiling. Because I think all of us, myself included, and like the fellow said, when I point my finger at you, there's three more coming back. We've got a lot to learn in this situation, because being a servant is more than just saying, okay, yes, I'm a servant. You know? Other questions or comments? Yep.
I read something within the last week or two that said an active assistant is the one that complains about something that's wrong is the person who does something about it. And it's the same is true for a servant. It's not someone who says we need to serve, it's the person who gets out there and does it.
Person that gets out and does it, yeah. Can you say that again real loud? I'm not sure if I heard you, and I'm not sure I can repeat it as good as you said it either.
That I read that an activist is not someone who complains about something that's wrong. It's the person who gets out and does something about it. And a servant isn't someone who says we should get out and serve. It's someone who goes out and serves.
Goes out and does it.
That's a lot of times where we talk about service, but we don't get out and do it.
Need to practice what we preach, maybe? Okay, any other thoughts? You think there's enough to keep everybody here busy in the way of being a servant?
Sure.
Oh, I think there is. There is so much to do. So much to do. Some of you may have heard me say this before because I've been saying it a lot the last year or so. But I've been doing it for a lot longer than that. But my own personal prayer, and I think we all should have a personal prayer. We should all have a personal prayer life and a conversational kind of prayer that goes on between us and our Lord. But my personal prayer is that the Lord show me the opportunities and then give me the wisdom to do something about it, you know. And I've been doing that now for almost 50 years. I turned 65 here last June, and I don't see any time to retire yet. There seems to be more opportunities every single day. I've got to go tonight. I've got to do some work that is involved up in Oregon that I'm going to have to do by way of computer and email and so on and so forth, that is just another one of those opportunities. I'm working on a project right now that, if it goes through, which I hope it does, the group in Walport, Oregon, the city of Walport, Oregon, asked me about a year and a half ago to help them clean up their problems with their youth in the whole town. And we said, well, we would try. But they're in the process of trying to buy an old school building that the school doesn't use anymore. The town wants to buy it, and they're trying to come up with a way of buying it. And you know what's going to happen when they buy that building, if they get the money to do it? There's going to be a congregation in that town too, and we'll use that school building or a part of it. Because we're already working with some folks in Walport. I go down there every Wednesday night and work with Tony and Evelyn Stouse, who some of you know from San Jose, and a group of foster kids that they're involved with. And many of those foster kids are members of the church now, because of the influence of that family. And the nucleus is there for a congregation. And it could very well be that that congregation will go together in this school building that has something to do with the kids, all the kids in town. You just never know what the opportunities might be that present themselves. And they are everywhere. They're here. They are right here. Like I was telling you a while ago, when I was at a meeting just outside of Salem, Oregon, here not very long ago, And they were talking about his, looking around here, Rachel Whitrock, where your brother went to school in Long Beach, and that high school right up there close to the building in Long Beach. We're talking about kids in that school. And in the discussion that followed that video, I made mention of the fact that I knew where that school was, and I knew some of the kids that had gone to that school, and the kind of an influence that they could have and an impact that they could make in their own communities. And people look at you like, where are you coming from? How do you know this stuff? But there are opportunities everywhere to be a good servant. Everywhere. All we've got to do is look, and they're around us. Any thoughts, questions, comments? I went to a... when I was selling insurance, they had a meeting, brought a fella in from Florida. Joe Gandolfo was his name, and he worked for a little rinky-dink insurance agency somewhere down in Florida. And the subject of the talk that he gave to all of these insurance salesmen had to do with opportunity. And this guy was the top insurance salesman in the world, or in the United States, I mean, at that particular time. Some little company that none of us hardly had even heard of, but his point in what he was saying, so far as opportunity is concerned, is it's all around you. You just have to know how to look for it. It's all around you. And that's the same way it is with the message of Jesus Christ. The same way it is with that race that we're running. Being servants. Getting the message out. Letting people know what we stand for, not just by the words we say, but by the aura that is around us always, by the way we look, by the opportunities that we use to let people know, yes, I'm a Christian. And I am willing to do whatever's necessary because I'm a Christian. That's what it means to be a good servant. Be willing to deny yourself, take up the cross of Christ, and follow Him. Those are the three things that Jesus said. Anything else? If not, I'm going to close right there on that and turn it over. You're still about 10 minutes early, but I think we've said our say, unless there's somebody that has something else to say. I'm going to stop. Thank you for your attention.